Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Edward. April Fools, I'm Jake.
Nobody can see why that's a funny joke.
It's also April Fool's, so it's a double good joke.
Oh, well, I really am Josh, so I guess I'm the April Fool.
The real April Fool was you.
Today we're watching episode 464, Power Rangers Ninja Storm, episode 6, Power Strangers? No, Thunder Strangers Part 2.
It aired March 15th, 2003, written by Ann Austin, directed by Charlie Haskell. I think Ann Austin, okay, so yeah, Ann Austin is officially Ann Austin now. She is no longer Ann Knapp, according to the Wikipedia.
Which is weird, because in the credits last time, like on the show, she was credited as Ann Austin.
Yeah, so who knows? Who knows what's going on over there in Wikipedia land? If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording. We go watch an episode of Power Rangers. We come back. We talk about it. You can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs, and you should, because Ninja Storm is actually pretty great. Not a ton of people talked about Ninja Storm when we, in the lead-in to getting here. Like, we got, like, you know, people saying, like, oh, Jungle Fury or RPM or what was
Operation
the
Overdrive was everyone's favorite season.
Everyone loved Operation Overdrive, and they said, we can't wait.
April Fools.
Got him again. Your boys. I forgot to open my soda.
What's really funny.
So there's that.
Is that April this Fools. Episode is going to go up in like the end of April.
And like, oh, way after that. This is going to be a May episode if my math is right.
Got him. You weren't expecting this.
Exactly. Anyway, watch Ninja Storm. It's very good. So go watch it with us.
And that's not an April Fool.
That's an April Truce. Do we do anything or do we just go? Let's go watch the episode now. Let's just go do the dang thing.
Ninja Storm Ranger form.
And we're back, and we just watched Thunder Strangers Part 2, The Squeakquel.
Hey, was this the best Part 2 we've ever watched?
Of anything ever?
No, of Power Rangers.
Of Power Rangers? Of three or more? I don't remember what Green for Evil Part 2 was, but other than that, yes, I think definitively this is the best Part 2.
The best middle episode.
Yeah. Was there a... Was Time Force the finale? Was that a three-parter?
I don't think so. I think this is the first more than two-parter we've had in a few seasons.
In a grip, yeah. I don't remember. But yeah, this Part 2 ruled? Because they treated it like its own episode and not just like this weird connective bridge between Part 1 and 3.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to do, I guess, but it really worked for them. HeyJakeandJosh.com, that's the website. You can go there. You can go listen to old episodes in the archives if you want. There's also the classic feeds, which have everything up through Terp right now. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at morphingrid. I don't know why I
that's
stumbled.
Right.
My brain was like, are you sure? And I'm like, well, I have said it 500 times. We're on Twitter at Morphin Grid. We're on Sagwa Podcasts. We're on Google Play and Podknife and Podbay and Podbay B and Pod Pranks. All pranks all the time. April Fools. There's no Pod Pranks service.
That's the ultimate Pod Prank.
You go there and it just says, gotcha. And that's it. That's the prank, is that you went to a website.
I feel like I bring this up more often than maybe any other living person. Do you remember ytmnd.com?
On occasion, yes.
You would go there and it was just like a tiled picture was the background and it just repeated a like 3-second audio clip over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Pod Pranks is. It just goes, gotcha,
it is you're
gotcha,
the man now,
gotcha, 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 gotcha.
That website seems like it's from outer space, right?
Yes.
Because why? Like, I understand there's probably technical limitations, but why would you do that?
Because you're the man now, dog.
Oh, hot dang. Anyway, you can leave us a rating review in any of those places if you want. That'd be great. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeandJosh. For as little as a dollar a month, you get some cool stuff in return. You get to help support the show in these trying times. We really appreciate it. This is a Wednesday episode, so there's no rules just right here. So do you want to just jump in?
No, April Fool's gotcha.
Oh, dang, I got got.
I got
YMNTDMD. What was it?
YTMND, you're the man now, dog. That's how you remember.
Of course. How could I forget?
I don't know how I remember.
Foolish of me. I don't know, because I know for a fact you have a notoriously bad memory. And I guess it's all just taken up with YTMND tiles.
I have a great long-term memory, I guess.
It's getting it there is the trick.
Yeah. In 10 years, I'm going to remember so much stuff.
You're going to be embarrassed. All of the first season of Power Rangers is going to, or the second season, is going to come rushing back to you. All right. We start off in the, it's called Ninja Ops, I guess. The command center is called Ninja Ops. This is like the second or third time that it's gotten called that. It will get called it later in the episode, but yeah, Ninja Ops. So Cam and Sensei are there, and they're like doing a scan for the Rangers, and they're like, where'd they go? We can't find them. And then on the viewing screen, do we see like Blake and Hunter and Kelly run up over like a hill or something? Or is that, do we just cut there? Because I feel like they saw that happen. They were like, ah, some friends are here.
I can't remember. I feel like it was on a viewing screen.
For like 1 second, because then we just go to them coming over the hill, and the Rangers are there, and they're in their civvies, and they're like stumbling up a hill, and they all like grab them, they help them, they're like, oh, what happened? And Kelly's like, I heard on the radio it was aliens. And Blake's like, do you have aliens a lot here? And Shane's like, didn't you wonder why property value was so low?
Do you wonder why housing was so cheap?
It's so cheap to live here because sometimes there's aliens.
It costs $5 a month because your house could just be squished anytime.
It could just gone. Also, sometimes all the water disappears, like in this episode.
I don't know how they did that. Unless the water... Either the water, this is like way ahead in the episode, but still. Either the water was CGI'd over a dry lake bed, or they just like did one of those like time skip recordings over the course of like, I guess, a few months.
No, I definitely think it was computers that did it. I don't know if they just like someone painted out the water. Or something? I don't know. The effect was very well done for Power Rangers.
It fooled me. April fooled me.
And then they just had a dry lake bed that they went to film in instead of the ocean or wherever. They're fine. They're like, you need help. Like, we're good. And they're like, we're good. We're good. So we cut up to space, and Zergain is like, Master Lothor, sorry about going down there half-cocked and then having to get tractor beam back up. Let me kill the Power Rangers to make up for it.
Yeah, he says the Thunder Rangers failed. Let me go kill them. And Lothor is like, are you stupid?
He literally is like, what did I just say about killing the Power Rangers? Anybody remember? And Mara's like, make it painful. And he's like, no. That's not what I said.
That's the wrong answer.
And then
I feel like this is revised a little bit from his original, like, you have to wait until they're powered up. Because this time he says they can only be destroyed when they're morphed, which doesn't sound right. I feel like it's easier to kill a squishy regular human than a Power Ranger.
I think, yes, because they don't have anything protecting them from laser blaster swords or anything.
Oh, however, if he did, let's say, kill Tori, RIP in peace.
Yeah, please don't. I love her. She's great.
But didn't destroy her as the Blue Ranger, then someone else could just become the Blue Ranger.
Yeah, I think that's maybe what he meant, is that, like, if you destroy them outside of their Ranger forms, then someone else can just be that Ranger now.
But if you destroy them when they're morphed, that power's gone. That's really cool.
Yeah. It's not correct entirely, because we have seen a Ranger die while morphed. Or did Kendrix unmorph before she got blowed up?
Maybe she knew the trick. She was
she was very smart.
Although she definitely got blown up in her Power Rangers costumes.
So. Maybe she demorphed just in time.
She didn't die. She just, like,
she passed on to the ghost world.
Yeah, there was no body.
Yeah, no body, no death.
So it didn't kill her as much as it just blasted her onto into a different dimension, and then she came back at the end.
I think maybe, did it just, like, suck her up into the morphing grid? Did it just, like, gobble her up into part of pink energy?
Is that the, like, emergency exit? Is it just, like, sucks you in?
Yeah, it's just like, you're in here now. Like, this is gonna go real bad, but we're gonna keep you on ice. Right. Raru's gonna pierce your ears while you're in here.
And if we can't get you out, we just stuff you into the Phantom Ranger.
Yep. We'll see what happens after that. So Lizard's like, no, if you want to defeat them, they have to be in their Ranger form. They're like, right. Hey, so then we cut to...
Hey, what if Kendrix was the Phantom Ranger the whole time?
That's why she went back with Cassie. That's why she was always there with Cassie.
You see? Because when you're sucked into the morphing grid, you exist outside of time, like Dr. Manhattan.
And so then
when you're the Phantom Ranger, or maybe as the Phantom Ranger, she just went back in time. We don't know where that fucker came from.
No. No. That guy can break all kinds of physics laws. But yeah, maybe it was Cassie in there. Or not Cassie, Kendrix in there, going to help Cassie. So that way Cassie could go keep being alive. So when Kendrix had to die, Cassie could be there to be sad about it. Hold on. I don't know if that makes the sense I want it to make. But
I think there's legs there, but maybe needs a little more workshopping.
Look, I'll take that over the Phantom Ranger just is, because I do not like the Phantom Ranger without some heavy headcanoning. So we come back to the Rangers. They're just walking somewhere. Dustin's like, my morpher is toast. It is completely destroyed. And we get like a shot of it, and there's like wires coming out. It's all blown up. And Tori's like, yeah, Cam's not going to be super psyched about that, or the fact that all of our Zords have been totaled.
It was confusing a little bit to me when they first ran up to the Power Rangers, when Blake, Hunter, and Kelly, like, went over to help them.
Yeah.
Kelly has to, like, know for sure, right? It just seemed because I couldn't tell if it was, like, they were supposed to be playing it, like, oh, they were just here at the wrong time, or, like, hey, we're the Power Rangers and we just got our butt kicked.
Yeah, I don't know, because, like, I think Kelly is the one who kind of, like, changed the subject. Because they're like, what happened? They're like, oh, we just got caught up in it. Because, like, whoa, it was aliens, I think, maybe? Like,
she so maybe aliens come here?
So maybe she does know. I think if she doesn't, she definitely suspects. Because, like, come on. They're three color-coded teens. Like, she knows the score. So they go inside to Ninja Ops, and Cam's like, wow, you extremely blew everything up a ton. Great job. This is wonderful for me.
It was like years of technological advancement reduced to scrap metal. Great job.
Great job. And Sensei's like, Cam, come on, not the time. And he's like, you're right. Also, the Zords had time for the holographic blah, 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 blah to something, something. And then they're self-repairing now.
Yeah, he says, like, something pretty much that's just like, they are in a state of self-repair. And Dustin's like, yeah. I don't know what that means.
Well, he said like something Matrix and like a couple other things. And Dustin's like, I didn't get any of that. And he's like, they're fixing themselves. Like, oh, dope. Cool. Good to know. So then they look at the Thunder Zords, like, on the computer. And they're like, yeah, the Thunder Zords. And he's like, yeah, it's made out of the same technology that your Zords are made out of. And Tori's like, why is there another ninja school with different ninja Power Rangers attacking us? That sucks. That seems very bad for us. And he's like, well, I don't know. But like all evil alliances, nobody trusts each other and it will fall apart eventually. It's all built on garbage. So just go back to being normal. Just go act normal. And then, like, wait. I don't know what he... Maybe he's like, we need the Zords to have time to repair. We need to be able to fix this. So if you do anything out of the ordinary, they'll be like, oh, they're regular. Go kill them.
Yeah. They need the Zords to repair, and they need to fix the Morphers. So, yeah. I mean, they can't really go out looking for trouble if they can't deal with it.
Right. That makes sense, I guess. So we cut from there to Tora. She's going to go surfing. She's walking along the beach. She bumps into Blake and Hunter, and they're like, whoa, not even going to say hi? And she's like, oh, sorry, my head's somewhere else, et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, cool.
She's really good at capturing the awkwardness of talking to someone that you think is attractive.
It is spot on. It is a mirror to my teenage years.
Because he's definitely like... literally has like a neon, not literally, obviously, but like a neon billboard that's like, I think you're cute. And she's
I'm into
just,
you.
And she's just like, I don't know if I should say anything to him.
I don't know. And she's just like this awkward little like look down cute smile. And she's like, cool, I'll catch you later. And he's like, yeah.
And he's just like, I'm into it. And she's like, yeah, I don't know if maybe, I don't know what I should do. Bye.
Yeah, I don't, I'm gonna go over here. I'm gonna go surf it off. And she goes, jumps in the ocean. And then Hunter's like, hey, Smooth, you should teach me those moves. He's like, shut up, man. We cut to Dustin, who's changing the oil on a dirt bike for apparently the fifth time, which is a lot of oil. Shane's like reading a magazine while like Burt Reynoldsing on a different bench in the repair area.
Why is he doing? I mean, this he's supposed to just be like a laid back teen.
He's just chillaxing, man.
I don't care. Just chillaxing, reading my bike mag. But, or skate mag.
He's
probably
reading Thrasher. Come on, Josh.
I didn't skateboard. I don't know the.
You don't know about Thrasher magazine?
I mean, I do now that you've said it. I remember kids had it in their backpack in middle school.
God, you're so old.
What was
you used to be cool,
that?
Man.
What was in that?
It's like skateboard stuff. Like what's in any magazine?
Tips?
It's just like the. Yeah, like skateboard tips and cool trucks and like.
New deck
Bob
reviews.
Burnquist. Interviews.
Check out these new wheels.
Yeah.
Endorsed by Rune Glyphberg.
Rune Glyphberg really loves these new polyurethane wheels.
Here's 10 photos in a row of each stage of Tony Hawk doing a 900 that you can rip out and hang on your wall.
As you rip it out, if you do this, you can see him do a 900.
You cut out the individual panels, make a little flip book.
Yeah, that's how you get a 900 out
of
it. Thrasher magazine.
Cool, that's the cool crafts that a skateboard kid does. They make a little flip book of Tony Hawk doing a 900.
It's interactive, Josh. Thrasher magazine had it all. And anyway, so Dustin's spacing out. He's like, dude, quit changing the oil on that bike. He's like, yeah, sorry. I'm real confused about why they didn't just kill us.
Yeah, their first question is like, why are they fighting us? And then the second question is, well,
why did they stop?
Why aren't they killing us?
Yeah. He's like, I don't know. I don't know why they didn't kill us. He also calls them Thunderpunks. He's like, why didn't the Thunderpunks kill us? And I was like, yeah, that's a good name. That's a good name for them, Dustin. And then Blake and Hunter come in right as he says this. Weird. And they go up to Kelly, and Kelly's like, hey, here's permission forms that you need for the race circuit thing or whatever. Your parents need to sign him, and I don't remember if I think it was Hunter.
It was Hunter, because he was very like, we don't live with our parents.
He's very aggressive. He's like, we don't live with our parents.
And Kelly's like, whoa, okay.
Okay, chill, man. And Blake's like, we'll get these back to you tomorrow. And she's like, all right, cool.
I like Blake. He's a chill, cool dude.
I like Blake a lot. Blake rules.
It sucks that he's chained to Hunter.
It is unfortunate that they didn't get two people who were real, like the two characters are not equally cool, but in different ways.
Yeah.
They're just like, there's Blake and then there's Hunter.
Yeah. There's Blake, who's just like naturally a cool dude. And then there's Hunter, who's like trying to be a cool dude.
Yeah. And I get that they're probably going for like, one's like calm and collected, the other one's hotheaded, but it just comes off as like, one's a cool dude and one's a dinkus. I don't know if we needed a dinkus, and his hair's so terrible.
I didn't notice before. Maybe they showed it more in this episode, or I was finally looking for it. But good God, that mop top is terrible.
It looks like a wet mop top made out of Lego hair. It just it sits on his head. It's awful.
It makes his head look three times as big. No. The side, like his silhouette is three times as big.
Yeah.
But then when his face comes into light, it's like this tiny little head in the middle of this big helmet of hair.
Very small. Yeah, it's bad. It's a bad haircut, Hunter. So they leave. Dustin's like, oh, I'm going to catch up with them, see if you know, they want to go riding or something. And Shane's like, I don't know, there's something weird about them. He's like, ah, whatever, man. And he like pats him on the shoulder, and he's got grease all over his hand. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm going to go. And he just runs away. He goes out to catch up with them. They like round a corner into an alley. Dustin runs behind them. He's like, hey, guys, wait up. And he turns a corner and they're gone.
Yeah. They walked behind a van into a dead end and just were just gone as soon as Dustin caught up to them.
Weird.
Very weird.
What could this mean? We cut up to Lothar and Capri and Mara are doing his nails. And it's very weird, but very cute, and has a short callback, but it's very well done.
This is really funny, because Mara's, like, painting his fingernails black, and he's like, I'm an evil space ninja, not a male supermodel. He's like, just a trim and buff would be fine.
Yeah. Because she's, like, explaining, like, I'm going to put a top coat on them to avoid cracking when you're doing your evil stuff. And he's like, yeah, and then he does that. And then Zergane comes up, he's like, permission to speak. And Lothar's like, only if I can vaporize you if you say something stupid. And Zergane's like, he's like, just say it, Zergane. It was a joke. Get a sense of humor.
April Fool's, Zergane.
April Fool's, Zergane. And then Zergane's like, hey, I found a frog monster alien that we could send, and that'll get the Power Rangers into their suits so they're morphed. And then we can kill them. And he's like, yeah, okay, you do that. And if you mess up, I was only half kidding about vaporizing you. So so he goes to do that. And then they're like, all right, we're done. Paint your nails. And Mara's like, don't pick your nose for a little while. And then Capri's like, yeah, or vaporize anybody because these need to set for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's a good joke. It's like a well-crafted setup and punchline. Good job. Also, Lothar rules.
Lothar, very, very good.
I love Lothar.
I like how he called himself an evil space ninja, and it was fine. It wasn't like a weird, stupid, like Power Rangers, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. He just said it, and it was like, yeah, that's what he is.
Yeah.
He's a Lucha Underground evil space ninja.
Yeah. Oh, man, he is extremely what if Pentagon Jr. was from space. If he wasn't a skeleton and was an alien, he would be Lothar. That's dope. So then they send down, and I don't have an alliteration name for this guy. I tried really hard, y'all. I can't think of anything. He's like a frog.
Did they say his name?
It's Amphibidor, according to the Netflix summary, but I don't know if they ever say it.
I don't think they ever did. I know he had polytrons that he sent out.
He sent those a lot. You know what else he said a lot? A lot of bad puns, like nonstop. One second did he stop making terrible, terrible puns. So I'm just going to call this guy Wet Frog.
Is he wet?
I mean, he's dry frog.
He's a thirsty frog.
He's a thirsty toad. That's alliterative if you spell it.
Yeah, it's visually alliterative.
Yes.
On this audio medium that we do.
April Fools. So Thirsty Toad he comes down and he lands and he looks at the ocean, it's a lake, but it's also the ocean. It's like an inlet, I think, because you can't really surf in a lake very well, I don't think.
Maybe a great lake, but not a regular lake.
No, but they're definitely like on the ocean, but the view is like, is from a lake, so whatever. So, but he sends out his little polytrons, which are just tadpoles, but leeches, but robots.
Yeah.
When we talked about Hexagon, they said, like, a couple different types of monsters. Is this the first robot?
I think so, because there was Copybot. Well, Copybot was his name.
I think his name was Copy Pot because he looked clay more than robot. So I don't know if they all been robots, maybe?
Maybe. What else? Was the last? I don't even remember the last one.
There was Mighty Mole, but that looked more like a mole than a robot. I don't think that was a robot.
He just dug holes.
Yeah. I don't know. So maybe there was something there. Maybe the fact that they had a bunch of different kinds of monsters that they were like, yeah, we can make this work. We can tie all these things together. Hexagon would have been so good.
Too much money. Disney was like, no way.
No, sir.
We are moving filming to the other side of the planet because it's cheaper.
Because it's way cheaper that way. And you can mail them scripts, I guess. Well, I guess by 2003 we had email, so that's good.
Fax them.
You got a fax. It takes 45 minutes to get 3 pages. It'd be terrible. So Thirsty Toad sends out the Polytrons. They suck up all the water. We get this big shot of the ocean draining. And Tori is, like, in the water. She puts her surfboard down, cuts the shot of the water, like, getting sucked up. And then it cuts back to her in, like, a wet lake bed. Like, it's, like, empty, but it's still damp.
When Thirsty Toad sends the Polytrons into the water, he says, I'm gonna drink it all up.
Nom, 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 nom. Love that. Like a Capri Sun.
Just slurp it like an Ecto Cooler.
Slurp it down. Everybody, he jumps down. Thirsty Toad jumps down. Everybody starts running away, except Tori, because she's a Power Ranger. And everybody is just barely out of frame where Tori tries to morph.
Now, it does show her, like, looking around to make sure it's clear as people are still, like, running from behind her.
I paused it to make sure that the shot of her, like, right before her morphing, there weren't people in it because it's, like, the opposite side of on Thirsty Toad, and there weren't. So maybe they got far enough away and they weren't looking back, but she goes to morph. She does, like, the whole, like, thing, but then April Fools, you don't have a morpher now. So then he just blows her up.
He just shoots her a few times.
He just shoots her with lasers. And then they fight, but she's been blasted and she's, like, clearly on her back foot. So he starts to try to kill her. And then in comes Blake on his dirt bike riding on, like, wet sand, which seems very dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you would just sink right into that and be stuck there forever. But he runs into Thirsty Toad and kicks him, and then he goes to run into him. Thirsty Toad, like, hops over him and then kicks him off his bike, and then Tori has to jump in and do a big ninja kick to hit him. They fight for a second, and he's like, well, fine, now I'm just going to shoot you with my Polytrons, personally suck up all your water. And he does that, and Blake, like, bunny hops in the way.
And we get a very loud, not loud, but, like, a very punctuated no from Tori.
Yeah. I think Sally Martin is a very good actress. I have a couple things that I think she doesn't do very well that I just chalk up to, like, this is probably her first time being on, like, a TV show filming constantly. Yeah. One of them is that her accent comes and goes when it pleases, which I think is cute, but it's sometimes she's like, no, and I'm like, where'd that R come from? And no, that's not how Californians talk, Tori. One thing she's really good at is screaming when someone gets hurt. She nailed it.
Or if she's just an evil version of herself.
Maybe she just needs to yell more. Maybe that's where Tori lives, is in her yelling.
Oh, I was going to say, a lot of her line delivery is a little awkward, but that is 99% hiding an accent.
A lot of it's hiding an accent, and a lot of it is like, this is a weird line to say for a human being. Because it's Power Rangers, so, like, you know.
Yeah.
Things get weird. And we cut from there. He gets shot up with the Polytrons. We cut from there to Ninja Ops, where she busts and she's like, Cam, I need your help right now. A friend's here. And he's like, yeah, bring him to a hospital. Why are you, what? And she's like, no, we got hurt because of me. Please, 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 come on. It's an emergency. So he's like, all right, fine.
She should have been like, he's Power Rangers hurt. He's got monster stuff on him.
Yeah, I thought she was going to be like, it was a monster. Like,
yeah, hospitals aren't equipped for this. They don't know how to deal with Polytrons.
So they run out, and Blake is unconscious on the ground. and there are Polytrons attached to his dirt bike armor.
Yeah, it
not
seems,
him.
It seems ineffective to be yeah. stuck to a big plastic plate.
I think maybe this is like why what happens in the second happens is because they're not actually attached to him and he's fine.
Right.
Cam plucks him off and he's doesn't have any tools or anything. Like Tori could have done this.
He just pulls him off.
And she could have done this on the beach. He's like, all right, this is like these things suck the water out of things. They suck the water right out of you until you die. And so this guy must drink a lot of water if he's not dead yet. And she's like, yo, thank you for saving him. He saved my life. You know, he jumped in the way and like this happened. And Cam's like, yeah, that's fine. My dad's going to be extremely mad if he finds out. And she's like, well, what about this? We don't tell him that I brought a friend to our secret ninja location.
She's like, well, he doesn't have to find out. And then it cuts back to Cam, who's like looking at her like, come on, you know, I'm going to tell him. And then it cuts back to her. And she just like flashes him this smile and he's like, fine.
You got me.
She kissed him on the cheek.
Did she?
She did. When he says, fine, I won't tell him that you brought a boy here. She's like, thanks, Cam. And she kisses him on the cheek and then she goes back to Ninja Ops.
I can't believe I missed that. She kisses him on the cheek. Well, hold up a minute. This is as close to a kiss as we've gotten in 8 years.
It's been 3,000 years.
You know who didn't do a kiss on the cheek? Jen and Wes. They just had to do a chaste hug and walk away.
Well, see, it wasn't a romantic. It was just a friendly thank you, so it doesn't count.
Okay.
You can't have a romantic kiss. That's for porn.
I mean, if you ask Papa Haim, yes, maybe Papa Walt, a little bit less. Seeing as like one of their first things ever was like, someone needs to kiss you to wake you up.
Right.
They're a little more lax on kisses, I guess. She runs back. She walks on the water and disappears. And we pan down to Blake, who opens his eyes and smiles. And I don't know if it's because they're in a forest and there's no like overhead light or what, but it looks like he's wearing demon contact lenses.
Oh, I didn't notice.
It looked like the sclera of his eyes was black instead of white. And I think it was just the angle and it was or the shot, but like I was like, oh, this is creepy. This is spooky. And he smiles and then closes his eyes and pretends to be unconscious again.
This makes me wonder, because we were upset in the first episode that everyone could walk on water. But I'm starting to wonder if there's like a secret, like invisible bridge and doorway here.
I think there might be an Indiana Jones sort of bridge thing.
Yeah.
Like a ninja, secret ninja bridge. So Blake closes his eyes and is like, April Fools. And then we cut from there.
Gotcha.
Got him. We cut from there to Dustin, who is working on his bike there outside near the track. And he's like working on the bike. And Shane is there. And this is the most likable Shane has been since the first episode. This episode, because it was a little rough for a couple episodes. I'm like, yeah. Oh, no, he's going to be a dink.
And he's not just like, very heavily featured in this one.
No, I think that kind of works to cool him off a little bit. But I also – I think after – because I rewatched the first episode, a little bit of it the other day. And between that and like this, I think they those like first three episodes after like where they become Power Rangers, he's like kind of a jerk and really stressed. I think it's just really like the character is very stressed and like can't really deal with it. And now that they've kind of pulled it back, he's like evening out and going back to being like,
yeah,
good character.
Now he's so relaxed. He's Burt Reynoldsing on a store counter reading a Thrasher magazine.
He doesn't even work there. He just is there.
Kelly has to know. Hey, these three color-coded teens just hang out in my Thrasher shop.
I think it's the kind of thing where like Dustin got a job, and then they were always there anyway for surf and skate and dirt bike needs. But Dustin got a summer job there, and they just showed up to hang out. And she's like, "Well, as long as you don't get in the way and like help sometimes, like I'm a cool boss, so like whatever." And then, you know, Power Rangers showed up and she just like looked at them, looked at the Power Rangers, was like, oh, all right. Yeah, I'll try to make them as comfortable as possible, seeing as they do have to fight monsters all the time.
Free juice on the house.
Yeah, free juice on the house, baby. Ernie is, I don't know where that sentence was going. Kelly and Ernie is Kelly's last name Ernie's last name?
Is she Kelly related? Ernie?
Kelly Ernie. Kenny Burble. Because he was the Burble baby. Remember that episode?
Yeah.
I think about Burble Meister, Meister Burble all the time. And I don't know why. Anyway, so Shane's like, yeah, it's weird. They just turned around into a dead-end alley and disappeared. And Dustin's like, yeah. And then Hunter comes up. He's like, hey, have you seen Blake? Blake's missing. I can't find Blake. And Shane's like, oh, I disappeared twice in one day, huh? I don't think Dustin reacts to this, but he should have been like,
it cuts away. It cuts away before Dustin and Hunter can do anything. But it's like, man.
Kind of giving up the ghost right away, huh, Shane? So then we cut over to Tori's van, and she's parked near the track, I think. And Blake is in the passenger seat, and they're just kind of talking, and they're flirting.
They're definitely being cute and like coy. And well, Tori's being coy. Blake is just pretty much like, how many more signals do I have to give?
Blake is clearly a teen, because anybody else's situation would be like, I'm attracted to you. Let's do something about this. Like, how do you feel about that?
I don't know
how to be.
In my experience, this is kind of a role reversal. Because usually it's the girls that are like, hey. They'll say something like, yeah, I'm just waiting for someone to ask me out. And then you'll be like, yeah, hope that someone does soon. Okay, I'm going to hang up on our 2.5 hour phone call now. I just don't think it's the right time.
Look, we've all been
but
there.
But this is the opposite of my high school experience.
It's same kind of, yeah. And he's like, all right, well, thanks. And then I forget what they're talking. They say something, and then like Hunter just like pokes his head in. And he's like, what happened, man? Are you okay? And he's like, yeah. It's a long story. Does not break eye contact with Tori the whole time. And she like smiles, and he's like, all right, I'm going to get out of the van now.
They're cutting over a lot of stuff they just don't care to explain, like how Tori got him away from Ninja Ops, or like if he woke up in the woods, like we know he did, but if he pretended like that he woke up in the woods, like how did she explain, oh, I brought you to this waterfall.
No, I think while he was still unconscious, her and Cam loaded him back up in the van, and he woke up in the back of a moving VW bus. And so she's like, she has the morpher. She's like, hey, I got your morphers back. And then Blake and Hunter come up, and Hunter's like, hey, I want to thank you for saving my bro. And she's like, yeah, no problem.
She's like, cool. Anytime.
And he's like, we always repay our debts. Yeah. She's like, whoa, man.
Yeah, she literally is like, I will keep that in mind.
Thank you. So then Tori like hands the morphers out. Oh, no, sorry. I'm cutting ahead a little bit, because Blake's like, yeah, all right, we got to get going. You know, parents, they just don't understand. And she's like, yeah, totally. And so they walk away. But Dustin and Shane look at each other. And then Blake and Hunter walk away, and they're like, April Fools, we don't live with our parents.
Shane says, like, hey, didn't they say they don't live with their parents? But then it cuts away.
Well, then Cam interrupts them. Cam's, like, on the morpher. He's like, hey, the frog's back. Thirsty Toad's back. So you got to go do something about that. So they morph. But when they morph, Tori is in the middle. And she is, like, you know, because she does, like, they all do the, you know, ninja form. Ranger Storm or whatever, but it's like on her more than them. And I like that at any moment, because there's only three of them and they're kind of equal in this group, that they can just be like, all right, well, you're in charge now, like you're leading this one. And like, okay, well, now Dustin's doing it, well, now Shane's, you know.
Yeah,
I really like that. So I never really got, because I've never really watched a three-person team show before, but I really like that dynamic where it's like, no, we're all Power Rangers, we're not really.
Yeah, I feel like before we got into this, we were both a little hesitant on a three-person team. We thought it was weird.
Yeah.
And that it wouldn't feel right. But in some ways, I like it more.
I think it works really well. I think at least for us, especially coming off of Wild Force, where there was, you know, five characters the whole time and nobody got anything to do, really. Like, everyone had a spotlight episode here or there, but like other than that, it was just like, you know, Power Rangers Wild Force stuff going on.
Yeah.
But with Ninja Storm, it's like, let's focus in on Tori. And when you do that and there's only three people, it's not like in, you know, like in an Ashley spotlight episode where like you're just not gonna see TJ for a while.
Yeah, because it's about Ashley going to the movies with Andros.
Yeah, or you know, like she had to fix her car and like, you know, Cassie helped her out and Carlos helped her out, and then TJ and Justin were just like off doing whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Like you don't really lose track of anybody else when you do a spotlight with only three people, and I think it really works. And I did not expect it to like it so much. So they morph, they go, they land in a wet quarry. They sprayed a quarry down. They land. They are immediately wrapped up in a chain with a big ball at the end. Thirsty Toad just is like, gotcha, like immediately.
Yeah. Is that it's supposed to be like a mine or like a bomb, right?
I think so. It looks but it's like a ball
painted,
and chain.
It's like a painted up bumble ball.
It extremely is a bumble ball. They're jacking that Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills swag of use a bumble ball in your episodes. Remember how Garganis just has two bumble balls fighting in like a sorry bumper?
Yeah, it's like I got these bumble balls under glass because I'm fancy.
Keep them contained. So they get thrown into the water, and he's like, hope you can't swim. Thirsty Toad doesn't shut up for 1 second the whole time.
Yeah.
They get thrown in the water, and they say, and I don't remember exactly what the wording was, but they basically say, like, ninja time reverse, and then they just pop out of the water backwards. I'm like, okay, that's a cool power. Yeah.
What's the ballot? Like, is it a one time, you can only use it once per day, once per long rest, you can use a ninja time reverse?
I think, and I am loath to say this, but I think it's sort of a wizard situation, like a D&D wizard situation.
Where as you long have as you have certain, enough bat poop and...
cotton balls and a lock of hair from your best friend's mother, like
then you can do a ninja time reverse.
You can do a ninja time reversal, but I think it's sort of like a you have a certain amount of ninja slots and you can put things in them, but once you use it, that's it until you can refresh your ninja slots.
I see,
which also makes sense because they have a lot of gachapon imagery in their Megazords. So they come back out. They just shoot him. I think they just shoot him. And he's like, all right, that's it.
Did they ninja reverse out of the chains too?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's really handy. Well,
they came out of the water individually.
Okay. Well, what was the point of the chain?
I don't know. So they got like a cool shot of them traveling.
So they got to the fight. They were wrapped in a chain, thrown in the water, and then just hit Command Z.
Yeah.
A couple times, and so none of that was for anything.
No, it was just so they could get the upper hand for a second and shoot him. So he's like, I just wrote he sucks, and I don't remember why.
I think you wrote that because he sucks.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. So then the Thunderpunks teleport in, and they're like, they're here. They pull out their big sticks. They're like, Thunder Sticks. And they pull out the sticks. They're like, whoa, big sticks.
They're Thunder Staffs, thank you.
Okay, well, they called them Big Sticks last episode, so that's what I keep calling them, and I will continue to do so forever. So they pull them out, the Rangers square up to fight off, and they run right by the Power Rangers.
There's a really good over-the-shoulder shot from behind the Thunder Rangers, where the Power Rangers are in the middle ground, and it looks like they're aiming at them, but like... Behind, almost obscured behind them is Thirsty Toad.
Yeah. So they run by, and there's this other good shot of them like getting ready, and it's like profile with the three Wind Rangers, and the Thunder Rangers just run through the gaps between the three of them and into the Toad and start beating the crap out of him.
Yeah, they truck this guy.
They have so many cool tricks. First thing they do, beat him up with their big sticks. Then he tries to shoot polytrons on him, and they turn the big sticks into, like, hula hoop nets that they block. They're, like, little shields. They block them back. Then they turn them into, like, throwing stars, like, big crosses that they chuck at him. It's wild.
Those Thunder Boom sticks are,
Yeah.
pretty handy. But they also have other weapons.
They also have their own weapons. They have the, I forget what they called them.
It was the Crimson Blaster and the Navy.
Grappler?
That would be a good one, but what I heard was Navy Handler.
Maybe it was Navy Handler.
I'm going to handle the heck out of you with this little grip claw.
So he runs up and he grabs him and he handles him.
He throws him. It's like the Kirby suplex ability. He just tosses him over his head.
Well, he picks him up in the air before he tosses him. And then like a bunch of explosions happen on Thirsty Toad. And we cut back over to Tori and she goes, wow.
Navy, wow.
And then he throws him and then he's like, oh, you jerk, I'm gonna beat you up for handling me. And then Crimson spins around with a big gun and shoots him.
And then they put him together and kill him.
They put him together and they blow him up.
Here's the only pun I remember. Right when they're about to fire their thunder big gun.
Yeah.
I don't know if they named it.
I don't recall.
Thunder Blaster, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, they're about to shoot it, and Thirsty Toad goes, I'm too young to croak.
Okay.
Clever rap, Thirsty Toad.
Clever raps and rhymes from good old Thirsty Toad. And then he dies, and they do a cool guy walk away while he blows up.
I noticed also, after he got handled, and Crimson shot him with his Crimson Blaster.
Yeah.
There's a quick shot of, because he's like walking toward him a little bit while he's shooting him, and it's the same posture and strut as Terminator Tommy.
It kind of is, yeah.
Which is really kind of, which sucks that it was Crimson, because he's somehow the less cool of the two bad Power Rangers who I don't know who they are yet.
Could be anybody, but yeah, I feel like if one of them is worse, it's definitively Crimson. So, during their cool guy walk away, they walk right by the Rangers, like, hey, are you just going to leave? And they're like, now we're even. And then they leave.
Yeah, and Tori's like, what?
What? Why? What? And then we cut up to Lothar, who's like, I need a closer. Can anybody just close a deal? Do I have a closer on this ship?
At one point, while they were attacking Thirsty Toad, I think we got a shot of Lothar being like, why are they... Or somebody on the squid ship was like, why are they doing this?
Yeah, and Lothar's just like, I just need someone to steal the deal. All right, coffee's for closers. Can someone please just get this done? And so somebody instant messages him bigger.
Lothar did. Lothar hit the button himself this time.
Right, because he's the closer. Because Lothar's the closer. So he gets big. They get into Zord. They call Cam, like, Cam, guess what we need? And he's like, don't even tell me. Here you go. So then the Zords come. We get a whole thing of them in like the hangar being like hologrammed over.
Crazy to me that we're killing time in an episode that feels as long as this one does.
Right. It's kind of weird. But like, again, these episodes are really densely packed. So even when they're killing time, they've already accomplished a lot more than, say, a Lost Galaxy did in any given four episodes. They get this. They call it the Storm Megazord, which is the first time I've heard it called that. So there's that.
That's weird, because they're the Wind Rangers.
Right, yeah.
You would think that would be the Wind Megazord, because they're about to fight... Or last episode, they fought, like, the Thunder Megazord.
Right, you put them together, you get
Thunder
the
Megazord
Storm.
Mark II.
Yeah.
Not the original Thunder Megazord. No. And you think when the five of them come together, that's your Storm Megazord.
Yeah.
Because it's the Wind and Thunder.
You would think.
But so the name, like Ninja Storm, and having them be Wind Rangers now makes a little more sense, with the other team being Thunder Rangers.
Yeah.
And together they're the Storm Rangers.
I guess, yeah.
But the other ones are bad. So
so who knows what's going to happen?
It's when the Thunder fights the Wind that then you have a Storm.
That's when you get the Storm, yeah. So they get Polytroned. They're like, we need help. Cam, send us something. He's like, try the Ram Hammer. And I realized this... I guess right now, so they have the Serpent Sword, which is like the water one. They've got the Ram Hammer, which is the earth one. And then they've got the thing that didn't get a name because it got hijacked last time, which is like the air one, because like the windmill that had like a falcon bird head on it.
Yeah.
So I like that they have different things for each one. Like, I like that there's a lot of options even though there's only three.
They can do Rangers. A lot more when there's only three. They can like focus on each one.
Yeah.
In a way that you can't when there's five.
I think it works really well. Yeah. I think a lot of stuff end up, it works really well. They beat his ass to death. They just beat his ass to death with a hammer.
Yeah, I don't remember this fight very much. I remember they had like polytrons on them at one point. I'm assuming they just pulled them off because that's all you have to do to get rid of them.
Also, there's no water in a robot, so you can just pull them off because they dehydrate things and it's a robot. So like that's stupid, thirsty toad. But then, yeah, he shoots more polytrons on him and they like whack-a-mole them away. But then they just like beat the hell out of him with a hammer until he dies. We cut back to the Rangers in their ninja outfits. They're coming into Ninja Ops. And Tori's like, I can't. And Dustin's like, yeah, they said they didn't live with their parents. And Tori's like, I can't believe Blake lied to me. And they look up and there's Cam being held hostage by the two Thunder Rangers. And they're like, uh-oh. But then the Thunder Punks unmorph. And it's Blake and Hunter?
I never in a thousand years would have guessed this coming three episodes ago.
This, like the second we saw two boys in blue and red? And Blake's like, April Fool's Tori, I'm the Thunder Ranger.
Hunter, they both feel a little like regretful of what they're doing.
Hunter less so.
Hunter less so, but it's still there a little bit. But his is more of like, I don't know. Maybe just bad acting at being like aggressive.
I think I'm gonna give him the BOTD, and I'm gonna say that the character of Hunter doesn't really want to be doing this, but also like has to put up his cool guy front, his like aggressive cool dude. So that's why it comes off as both. But Blake is just like, I'm sorry, Tori. Like,
yeah, he's like, hey, this, I didn't realize you were the Power Ranger until I went to help the Power Rangers and you were in the woods.
Yeah, and Tori's like, if you hurt him, I will hunt you down.
So they give Cam back.
They toss Cam back immediately.
Immediately, they're like, we don't need him. It's fine.
It's fine. We got what we came for. And then they smoke bomb and they disappear. And they're like, what do they want? Cam rushes over to the little terrarium they have set up for his dad. And he's like, my dad's not in his gerbil cage anymore. They took my dad. But that's the end of the episode.
That's it.
TBC.
I'm very curious because the Thunder Rangers don't seem evil. Hunter maybe a little bit you could tell me was an evil guy, but Blake I wouldn't believe you.
Yeah, they seem like Power Rangers.
Yeah, so I'm just really curious. They seem like Eric. They seem like a couple Erics.
They're just a couple of Erics.
So
yeah.
Very curious why they are working with Lothor. Because we got the question this episode, but we're nowhere near the answer, I don't think.
No. And in the other in the past couple episodes, there's been like this like tension where like they work for Lothor and they're like doing stuff for Lothor, but they don't like work for
but,
like they're
yeah.
not like under him.
They don't take orders from Lothor.
Yeah. And it also seems like they're kind of tricking him, but like we don't know to what end in any direction at this point. And now they just really wanted a guinea pig.
Maybe.
And this is the easiest way to get one.
That can do ninja flips. At one point, it was when they first went back and they were talking to Cam about their broken morphers and stuff, and they're all huddled around a computer. Sensei comes flipping in, like behind, jumps off of Dustin's shoulder and lands on the table. I thought someone threw something at Dustin. I'm like, why is there a rogue water bottle flying at Dustin's head? And it was just this gerbil.
Because Dustin's like, ow. gerbil just flipped into my head really hard. Anyway, Josh, it's the end of the episode. You started.
Yeah.
So I get to pick the best. I gotta say the best is Tori being like, if you hurt him, I will hunt you down.
Yeah.
And then immediately being like, "Never, I do not want that.
Yep. No, we don't want that because you would beat us up, I think. Unmorphed. Yeah. Morphed, we got your number. So
but
far.
Unmorphed, she's like, I will drown you in a shallow grave.
I'm gonna best that too.
It was really good.
Yeah. I kind of want to just best Tori in this episode, but I think I'm gonna, I'll do that moment.
Okay. Worst. I don't know. It's a pretty good episode.
I think worst is Thirsty Toad's puns.
Yeah, Thirsty Toad's non-stop aggressive pun. Like, literally.
Yeah.
It was like a Digimon episode.
It's pretty bad. I don't mind the monster and his powers and that stuff, but I do not like the character that they gave
him. Yeah. They gave him like a kind of like a New Jersey accent, like because he's like kind of annoying. They're like, ah, give him like a northernish accent.
Hey, I'm too young to croak.
I'm too young to croak. And then he dies, and you're like, I get it. But like that same minute, he said five other things.
Right.
I'm also gonna worst Thirsty Toad then. MVP, I want to say Tori, but I also want to say Blake.
I'm giving it to Lothar.
That's also a very good call.
This episode. This was the episode where I was like, Lothar's really good. He's really funny, but not in too campy of a way.
You know what he reminds me of? Lord Zedd.
Yeah.
Like Zedd walked this extremely weird tightrope between being like actually funny, but also scary and threatening. And I think Lothar is the first person since then get that.
He's very funny, but in an exasperated way because he's surrounded by just real dumb people.
Yeah.
But also you can feel the looming threat of if Lothar ever fights them, he's going to whoop them. He's going to just stomp them in the dust. Like that dude can go. You can just feel it.
Yeah. I can't wait to see Lothar throw down with someone. That'll be very good. I think I'm going to best...
We already did that. You're MVPing now.
I think I'm going to MVP. Sorry, I did a burp and then that reset my whole brain. Because I'm trying to figure out what this strawberry soda tastes like. I can't.
Is it strawberries?
A little bit, but not. Like, it tastes like another strawberry thing.
Strawberry,
but I don't remember
Starburst.
What. No, it's not that good. I love me the pink Starburst. It definitely is a candy of some sort. And, you know, I got 11 more of these cans. I'll figure out at some point.
Is it those weird strawberry hard candies that come in, like, the strawberry wrapper and they have the gooey middle that's really weird?
No, I don't think I've ever had one of those because they kind of creep me out.
Those are old people candy.
That's extremely old people candy.
It's in the bowl next to the butterscotch. Anyway, sorry.
I'm going to MVP Blake. I feel like in my heart I should give it to Blake. I really like Blake in this episode.
I think that's fair.
Betrayed them.
I do like, and it raises more questions on like what is the motives of the Thunder Rangers that he knew. I mean, I guess it was to get into Ninja Ops, but he knows Tori is the Blue Ranger, and he still saved her from a monster. And I guess it was like, but he didn't know he was gonna get Polytroned.
No,
and he didn't know that she was gonna bring him back there. I feel like when he realized the entrance to Ninja Ops, he was like, oh, hey, what luck?
Yeah, because if you look at that, I think he knew that she didn't have a morpher. So he's like, oh, she's going to get killed. Like,
yeah.
So I need to save her. And then he ended up getting his butt entirely kicked. And then I think her bringing him to Ninja Ops and him being like, all right, I can use this. Because he seems like he's definitely walking a line. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I really like that. And the same goes for Hunter, to be fair, because they saved... or she saved Blake, and then Hunter was like, we owe you one, and we'll get you back. And then they
Thunder
did
Ranger
kill Thirsty
always
Toad.
Repays their debts.
Yeah, they're like Lannisters. But then he did kill Thirsty Toad, and it's like, we're even. And that seems like it is separate from the Lothar stuff. It's just like, no, you saved my brother. I'm going to do you a solid.
That felt very much like an honor thing.
Yeah.
Like an honor among thieves kind of thing.
Can you imagine talking about Wild Force like this even one time? Outside of Taylor going into the Army or into the Air Force to become a pilot, I don't think anything grabbed me like this episode Wild Force.
It's a really good transitional episode because it plays off of the first one without feeling like it's just a connective tissue to the next one.
Yeah, and then there's a whole story.
And it leads into the next one because it asks a lot more questions about the Thunder Rangers. And right at the end, it shows you who they are, even though, like, I mean, you know. But it shows
you. Even though we knew from the jump, yeah.
Now the Power Rangers know. And so the third episode should also be really good. I don't know where the Thunder Rangers go from here. I don't know how long they work for Lothar before they, like, become good guys. I'm assuming they become good guys because promotional shots have... all of them together.
All of them hanging out. Yeah. The four-parter's called Return of the Thunder or something like that. So I assume maybe.
This is a really good way to introduce new Rangers. I'm very intrigued by them. And that hasn't happened with a new, like, sixth Ranger. And these are fourth and fifth Rangers. But, like, that hasn't happened in a long time. I feel like the last few seasons have just been like, and here he is. Here's Zane.
Yeah, I mean,
he's frozen and he's sleeping in the back.
Right, where Zane, they're like, the episode before Zane, they're like, there's a guy in a tub and then Zane's here now. Anyway, so we don't need to rank the episode, but I do want to, because we ranked the three-parters together, but I do want to put down where we think this one goes.
This is definitely going to move it up.
I think this is number one.
I think you're right.
So I'm going to put this one on separately, and then we will look between the two when we decide the third and final to, like...
We'll average them out.
We'll figure out if overall they land here. So that's tentatively in the first spot. This episode kicked ass. We are going to get out of here. We will see you for the final part on Friday, because this is a Wednesday episode, because we made a pact. We have to keep it.
I can't believe you went to the crossroads and made this deal without me.
Look, I'm sorry, Josh. It had to be done. But until Friday,
may the power protect you.
Is that Tucker?
Yeah.
Dad, I want to talk about Power Rangers.
You can't come in.
Let me talk about Ninja Storm rules.
Oh, no. He's still there. It's fine. Just keep going.